Why would you post it?
Okay. So I'm going to hand out Daf Makoros. Check this out. Pass around. Okay, what I gave you here is a sheet with some of the psukim and a few other makaros to just get us started here in Inyani Kashas. The Torah has two main discussions of Kashas. Anybody know where they are? Very good. Excellent. Excellent. Actually, I didn't give you one of the main discussions on this sheet. Okay, one of the main discussions is back in Parshas Shemini 2 weeks ago for those of us in Eretz Yisrael, and last week, this past Shabbos, yesterday, for those in Chutz La'aretz, and never for those of you who missed it by traveling or whatever. So Parshas Shemini is one of the main discussions. There is another little discussion in this week's Parsha, that's Vayikra Perchav. And then in Parshas Re'eh, over in Dvarim, there's another long discussion. I didn't give it to you on the sheet. Yes.
I was just, how come something like every day on Pesach, like it talk about like it involve like the line of local meat and like cooking
on the other lane? Okay, right. So
hey, what's the connection to the Pesach?
Yeah. So it's interesting. The Torah, when it discusses in Yoni Kashas, in Shemini and Re'eh, has a whole long list of which animals are kosher and fish and birds, and which are not kosher, etc. And then there's a few words which comes up three times in the Torah. Lo sevash shel gedi b'chalev imo. That's in different contexts. It's not written in Shemini or in Re'eh. But we do read about it on Pesach because there are two, three different sections in Chumash where the Jewish people renew their bris with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the Torah gives them a whole list of assorted different different halachas at that time. Okay, including Yom Tovim, which is why we read it on Pesach, and also puts in there Lo Sevash Shel Gedi B'chalev Imo. Okay, but check out here. Pass this to Jonathan.
Okay.
Okay. I thought maybe we would just take a few minutes at the very beginning to talk about Kashrus, big picture. Why? Again, we don't really keep mitzvos based on the reasons for mitzvos. So we don't need to know the reasons for mitzvos. Nasa v'nishma, even if we don't understand, before we even seek to understand, we're committed to following halacha. That being the case, the Rishonim all dealt with tamei mitzvos. What's up with Hilchos Kashrus? What is up with Hilchos Kashrus? So I wanted to just show you a few different approaches over here on your sheet. Okay? So if you look in the Sefer HaChinuch, for example, the Sefer HaChinuch is one of the Rishonim. We don't know who wrote it. It was written anonymously. Some people surmise that it was written by the Ra'ah, one of the famous Rishonim of Sfarad, but many believe that it was actually not written by the Ra'ah. In any event, the Sefer HaChinuch, for each mitzvah, tries to give a reason for the mitzvah. So look what he says here, Mitzvah Ayin Gimel about Kashas. Mishor Shei Mitzvah Zu. That's always how he introduces the Tama Mitzvah.
Like, it's
what?
Like the Chassam Sofer, right? Like something like that.
Well, the Sefer HaChinuch was written hundreds of years before the Chassam Sofer.
What was the book, like, the one where he wrote for his son, like, the Mitzvot, and, like, describes, like, every Mitzvah?
I'm not aware of the Chassam Sofer ever written a Sefer like that. I don't know.
Didn't, like, one of them, like, who was, like, the father of like, the son?
The Chassam Sofer is the son, is the father, and the Chassam Sofer is his son.
Yeah, so, like, didn't he write for his son, like, as
Sefer HaChinuch wrote,
yeah, he wrote, like, yeah,
for his son, but that's not, you
don't know. I'm not aware of the Chassam Sofer having written a Sefer like that. I don't know. Show it to me if you find it.
No, that's what Rabbi always talk about. It.
The Chassam Sofer?
He always talk about, like, the Sefer. That's why.
The Sefer HaChinuch?
I guess the Sefer.
Sefer HaChinuch is hundreds of years before that. The Chassam Sofer lived in the 1800s. The Sefer HaChinuch is from the period of the Rishonim.
So we don't know who
wrote it. I don't know. We don't know who wrote it. Okay. There are other Sefer HaMitzvahs that have been written besides the Sefer HaChinuch. Okay. There are. Okay. So he said that, interestingly enough, the Chassam Sofer's Talmud, the Maram Shik, has a Sefer HaMitzvahs of sorts, or a commentary on Sefer HaMitzvahs. But I'm sure, I don't think that's what you're referring to. Okay, Mishar Shei Mitzvah Zu, Lefisha Guf Kli L'Nefesh, Uvo Ta'aseh Pu'lasa. So he says, the Sefer HaKinuch writes, the Guf, the body, is the receptacle of the nefesh, which is the spiritual side. That's the spirit, the neshama. And you need your body in order to act in this world. Without your body, your neshama can't do what it's here to do. So your body is very important. It's not the main thing, but it is the vehicle by which your neshama, which is your essence, is able to operate. V'al haderech hazeh, l'fi apshat, nomar, shebolanu ha'isr b'tor b'chol ma'achol sasurus. He says, that's why we have the isr of non-kosher food. V'im yesh b'em she'en nodalanu v'lo l'chach me'erefua, nizkan, al titma'aleya, ki harof ha'neman she'zironu b'hen chacham yosem mimcha u'mehem. So he says, if we don't know why one of the non-kosher foods are unhealthy, and even the doctors don't know, the scientists don't know, it's okay. Hashem is a better doctor than they are, a better scientist. The reason for Hilchos Kashrus is because of physical health. To keep your body healthy. Your body is important. You want to keep your body healthy. That is what the Sefer HaChinuch writes.
Why do people, like, it doesn't really seem like that's such a forefront in Judaism.
What, keeping your body healthy?
Yeah.
So the Sefer HaChinuch would disagree. The Sefer HaChinuch would say, absolutely not. It's important to keep your body healthy. Your body is the receptacle of your neshama. Without a healthy body, how are you going to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this world? And in terms of that hashkafa, I don't identify with his reason for Hilchos Kashrus at all. I don't think that's, I mean, who am I to talk, but people much greater than I have disagreed with the Sefer HaChinuch. I don't think this is the reason for the mitzvah of Kashrus. But I definitely agree with the hashkafa that it's important to keep your body healthy, and I think that everyone agrees to that. You have a chiyuv to keep your body healthy in order to be over Hashem.
So, what do you think the reason for Hilchos Kashrus is?
Well, let me ask you. I don't know. What do you guys think about this reason? You guys like it?
No.
Why not, Nathan?
It doesn't really make sense that there's a whole thing about it just to keep our body healthy.
Why not?
There's other ways that Hashem could tell us to keep our bodies healthy.
Like what?
It's a great way.
No, I think it's
what's wrong with this?
No, I think cheeseburgers are really healthy.
Cheeseburgers are not healthy.
Jews eat such healthy food.
Fish is not any better.
What do you say?
Fried schnitzel when they eat it every week. Fried schnitzel's not healthy.
I think it's because it's part of the many things that add together to make us the Kadosh nation as in the separate nation.
But how does it accomplish that?
No, because it's taking something that in the world that eating is a thing that every single person in the world does.
Mm.
Eating is a very public thing, especially I think it's even way more applicable in today's day when you have so many restaurants, so many things like that everybody's eating a certain way. But everybody knows that everybody eats one way and then Jews eat a different way. So it's very
So you're saying it's there to separate us from
Muslims
the world.
Also eat their own way.
To create a artificial separation between us and everybody else.
That's all the Derabbanan law is to separate you from eating and drinking with non-Jews.
No, that's not what I'm talking about.
But non-Jews Muslims buy our food.
Okay.
It's the highest level of their
kashrus. Well, I'll tell you what, Rabbi
Zayi.
Check out the psukim. You got to go back to the sources.
No,
look in the psukim and see if you see any indications. See if you see any indications that the chinuch sefer chinuch is correct, or that he's incorrect, or that Avram Doiv is correct, or that he's incorrect. Give me your eyes. Don't just give me svaras. Give me your eyes. So what do you think that indicates?
That it's talking about that food has a direct correlation to your neshama, and what you put on your body has a direct effect on your neshama. And there's certain foods that have negative effects on your neshama, and there's certain foods that can have positive.
So that's different than the Sefer HaChinuch.
Yeah.
But I think also the last one.
Okay.
Spiritual health.
Oh, that's different than the Sefer HaChinuch.
Where it says, well, how do you bring that Shama Ben HaTor? That pasuk could be.
Yeah.
It's the separation between the animals that are Tamei and Tamar, but also people who are Tamei and Tamar.
Where do you see that pasuk talking about people?
No, I'm translating these people also.
I don't know if I like that translation. If I had to give a raya.
Bar mitzvah speech.
Oh, yeah? If I had to give a raya for his bar mitzvah speech. I would point to a different pasuk for you, Avram Dov. I'd point to pasuk Memhei, maybe. I'm pasuk Memdalid, Memhei. Because it says viskadishtem visem kadoshim. It depends how you understand the word kadosh.
Right.
Okay, kadosh, one definition of the word means separate.
It could also mean that you're always,
right?
It could be that you.
Okay. So maybe, yeah.
Could it also be that every step of the way, from the beginning, from even getting the animal, you're always thinking of Hashem while you're doing it. You have to make sure that there's no blood, that there's nothing extremely wrong with it. You have to make sure you don't get it too hard.
Good.
You have to then cut it or sheft it in the right way and make sure it's happening. Then remove everything in the right way. Remove which parts and these parts, and then take the right parts, and then get all the blood out and everything.
Yeah, yeah.
It's such a process.
Yeah.
You always think of Hashem, and you're always.
So it's put Hashem into our minds.
But why not for everything else in the world?
Very nice. One second.
It is for everything. Okay. Everything in the world.
No, but I think. I don't think it's a show.
I want to relate to Gabby's point. I wasn't going
to
discuss this, but the truth is, I highly recommend the following. Okay. I think that where we come from, we sort of absorb a hashkafa which says that we're not running away from the physical world, we're not trying to be, malachim. We don't think the physical world is inherently bad. It's just a question of how you use it. You can use it in the right way, you can use it not the right way. So in terms of fleshing that, a lot of people talk about that, they say that, but what does that mean, l'maisa? What's the difference between eating like an animal and eating like a person? So, most mefarshim don't really flesh it out, even the ones who say this word, that we're not running away from the physical world, we're supposed to mekadesh the physical world, most of them don't really discuss what that means. If you're looking, this is a fascinating Maor Malkum, I highly recommend it. If you're looking for someone who actually does flesh it out, sort of Soloveitchik, in the book Festival of Freedom, which is a series of essays on Pesach. We have it in the Beis Medrash. What's that? Too much? What's your problem, Baron? Challenge yourself. Okay. It's a great article. It's readable. It's very readable. He is readable, first of all. Second of all, he didn't write this article. It's written up. It's written. It's not nice, Josh.
This is
actually not written by Soloveitchik. It's based on a speech that he gave, and somebody else wrote it up. So it's a little more readable. It's still written in a sophisticated fashion, but it's more readable than Soloveitchik's own writings. It's a nice read, and it's Yesodistic stuff. So some of what he discusses is what Gavi's mentioning. That the various halachas involved in eating, starting from Hilchos Kashrus and moving on to Hilchos Seuda and Brachos. So certainly that's not the whole picture, but that's part of the picture of what it means to eat in a Kaddish way as opposed to eating like an animal.
There has to be some reason that, there has to be some Yesodistic reason to it also. It's not so simple. It can't just be that it's so obvious, because if I bring you food, whatever, and you eat the food, and you don't know that it's not kosher, in the end of it, you just ate food, whatever. I'm saying food is food. There's certain foods that the difference seems like it's just semantics between two different things. One's labeled kosher, one's labeled not kosher, but the biological makeup of those things is so similar.
Okay, so I think we're probably coming back to the Sefer HaChinuch. Many Mefarshim disagree with the Sefer HaChinuch, and they do disagree with the Sefer HaChinuch, and they say, come on, first of all, look at the words that the Torah says. The Torah uses words like Tamei, Tahar, Sheketz, Kadosh, Kedusha. It doesn't sound like a physical thing, like a medical issue. If it was talking about medicine, it wouldn't use those terms. It sounds like a spiritual thing, number one. Number two, the Torah does not consider treif, certain poisonous items. And finally, in terms of health, in terms of biology, so if you shecht it as opposed to doing something else, then that's more healthy. Do we find that goyim live longer, shorter lives because we're eating so much healthier than they are, because we keep kosher, and they don't? We don't really find this. So
our meat has less chemicals in it because the endorphins don't get released.
Yeah.
So the animal doesn't know it's being killed when it's shechted versus with when it's shocked and then shot, so then it dies. As opposed to an animal that you shecht is alive and then it's dead. An animal that you shock and then you shoot it in the head, so its brain is still sending pulses. So all these like nitrates.
Our meat is naturally more tender.
Yeah. All emanates from the brain.
The muscle tenses up with nitrogen when you shoot it or shot it.
Mm-hmm. So we have more tender meat.
Not only that, but it's also the chemicals being released.
Okay, very good. And chemicals saying it's not good to eat all those endorphins.
Yeah, it's not so good for you.
Okay, very nice. So you're backing up the Sefer HaChinuch.
No, but I'm saying that there's some things that like you can't. I mean, at least for me, I don't know. Like I don't pretend to understand like the difference between like you have two stores right next to each other, and one has a shkach and one doesn't have a shkach, and they serve the exact same food. Like I can't pretend to understand the difference between those two stories.
Okay, Enoch Enam. So the Sefer HaChinuch will tell you don't understand, but the ultimate scientist and doctor, he does understand, and this is healthier. There are others who disagree. Look at the Abarbanel. Look at the underlined section here. So he until now he basically disagrees with the Sefer HaChinuch. So, and he thinks that Ramban agrees with the Sefer HaChinuch, and he says harsh words here. He says, Chalilali, in the second line at the end, Chalilali lahamin kain. He says, I don't believe it, no way, it's not a matter of health. Look in the underlined part, he says, So he says that there are foods, and he continues on in the next couple of lines, check it out. He says, there are foods which are spiritually corrosive, spiritually unhealthy. Okay, well, I don't understand how the food is spiritually unhealthy if it's this type of food, you know, as opposed to a kosher food. But okay, I don't pretend to be able to tell you everything that's going on in the spiritual world. So says the Abarbanel, that's what it is, spiritual health. Okay, non-kosher food is inherently spiritually corrosive. And this is a hashkafa that actually many people have ad ayom hazeh. And one second, many poskim have this idea that non-kosher food is inherently, it's a spiritual reality. It's not because you violated an avera. Okay, most of the time, if you do a mitzvah, that's spiritually healthy. If you do an avera, it's spiritually unhealthy. Here, it's inherently spiritually unhealthy. And therefore, the Torah said it's aser.
Yeah.
Right? And that actually has practical ramifications in the way Hilchos Kashrus is done. A lot of chumras are born out of this sense. Right? Let's say the halacha relies on rov. Okay, but do you want to take that chance and eat poison? You know, this is spiritual poison. So a lot of chumras are born from this hashkafa, that it's an inherent spiritual reality, that this is poisonous. So therefore, you need to stay away from it. The Torah says stay away from it. But even when the Torah doesn't require you to stay away from it, you better stay away from it, because if it really is treif,
it's spiritual. Or are they people?
Clearly not.
There are different people and different, even kashrus organizations have different standards. I'm saying this is a hashkafa that's behind, stands behind in the background of some of the chumras that people adopt and that organizations adopt in Hilchos Kashrus. Yes.
Isn't there also like a thing like sort of things of something like that, like the reason we don't eat some non-kosher animals is because like if they're like predators, like. It kind of turns you predator.
That could be part of it. Not all omnivores are kosher.
But all
carnivores are treif.
Yeah, that's easy to understand.
That's correct.
I'm saying, I don't know. Like, how do you internalize that though? Like,
how do you internalize what?
Like spiritual reality into the physical world.
Right, so there is a fusion of the physical and the spiritual that sometimes happens in ways that we may not understand, and there may be spiritual qualities. I'm just being ma'amik here in the opinion of Abarbanel, which is adopted by many other mefarshim as well. Okay, there may be spiritual qualities to certain physical things, just like we know that objects can have kedusha. Person has Kedusha, there's Kedusha Yisrael, there's Kedusha, you know, Kedusha's Kahuna. Non-Jews have a different level of spiritual reality. You know, so too, one piece of food could have one type of spiritual characteristic, and another could have a different type of spiritual characteristic. You bring it into your body, it gets broken down and sent all over your... So somehow you've absorbed that, you know, that tumma. On the other hand, by the way, it's also possible to absorb and to consume kedusha as well. So bizmanenu, we have lost most of those opportunities because we don't eat karbonos anymore, and we don't eat truma anymore. But what we do have is peros shvius. Now that you're in Eretz Yisrael, according to the Margolios Yamin and Masechet Sanhedrin, he's very into the idea of peros Eretz Yisrael have a certain kedusha. Peros Eretz Yisrael have a certain type of a kedusha. Okay, so you get to absorb. It's not the same thing.
What I'm saying is that, as a human being, it's hard to, when you have two things that look exactly the same, the only difference that's
okay.
Telling is different. It's hard to.
It's hard to, for our brains wouldn't necessarily have thought that. I agree, 100%. Yeah.
I read a story in some book. I completely failed the book and the rabbi's names, but there's a rabbi and his rabbi, and Rabbi A asked his rabbi a question that was just completely heretical. And the rabbi just yelled at him, saying, "How could you do that? It's so heretical." And he just said, and he was thinking that. What he said to the rabbi, he said, "Go check your slaughter. Check your local slaughter." Really confused. He goes over, checks out the slaughter, asks some questions, and finds out that his shochet has been giving non-kosher food, chased food, for 13 years.
Oh my goodness, 13 years. Here's a story I read once.
It sounds like a rabbi.
A story.
The reason he said that is because he knew that the only way he was going to be able to say something that heretical was that he was
eating non-kosher.
Something that was non-kosher, okay. and the spiritual unhealthiness was getting into his brain.
I once read a story, I don't remember which rabbi to tell us about. Was traveling somewhere, and they served him food, and he took a bite of meat, and it was absolutely rancid, disgusting, couldn't swear. So, sorry, this is just, I think it's spoiled. And everyone else was tasting it, they were like, "It's great, what are you talking about? It's delicious." And then it turned out afterward, there was some issue, whatever, and I realized it was not kosher. So where he was holding, it tasted disgusting. Okay. Chalio.
I'm saying for us lowly mortals.
So we don't necessarily taste it, we don't experience it, but that doesn't mean it's not true. It's a reality, a spiritual reality. Okay. You may have a person who comes to Eretz Yisrael and he doesn't feel any different if you tell him he's in Eretz Yisrael, if you tell him he's in China, or if he's in Canada, all crazy places. He doesn't feel any difference, but the fact of the matter is, it's a spiritual reality. Eretz Yisrael is Kadosh, and the rest of the world has a lower level. Okay? The fact that we're not spiritually sensitive enough to feel that doesn't mean that it's not real. It's not reality.
I'm saying, I think if the Chachamim hadn't given reasons for the Takanos that they had on the Kadosh, it would make Kadosh easier. I'm saying because they make a lot of tikkunos and they give reasons for it, but those reasons aren't spiritual reasons. So I'm saying.
So what are you? I don't understand. What's your?
But I'm saying it makes the whole thing seem more complicated.
Which whole kashrus seem more complicated?
Yeah.
What makes it seem more complicated?
I'm saying for instance like Chol of Stam versus like Chol of Yisrael.
Okay, we'll get to that. Now we're gun jumping.
It's not gun jumping. I'm saying that if the Chachamim had said don't drink this because it's bad for your neshama, it would have been different for them to say don't eat bread cooked by a non-Jew because we don't want you to die in person.
Chol of Stam, Chol of Nachri, may not be bad for your neshama. It's an Issur D'Rabbanan because they were concerned that they were going to feed you something else. And a chanami, it's not bad for your neshama.
So why can't you eat the Chalav?
There is a discussion. There's a fascinating discussion amongst Achronim. Okay, here we get into some lumdus. You ready for this? Some achronim. For example, the rugged shover. The rugged shover claims like this. He claims all isurim derabanon, all dinim derabanon, by definition, are isurei or dine gavra, as opposed to isurei cheftza. Okay? In other words, like this. When the Torah says you can't eat pig's meat, so pig's meat is inherently treif. It's a din in the cheftza, the object. Okay, the object of pig meat is treif. When the chachamim come along and say you cannot eat chicken and milk together, It's not that chicken and milk is inherently treif. The Chachamim can't make a new spiritual reality. That used to be yesterday, chicken and milk was okay. And now it's a new spiritual reality, chicken and milk, it'll corrupt your neshama. No. It's an Isser Gavra. They gave an Isser to you. It's an Isser on the person. You are not allowed to eat chicken and milk. Here, if there's any spiritually corruptive effect, it's because of the Avera, not the other way around.
No, but I'm saying now.
Okay? So, in Akanami, Chalav Nachri is not spiritually corrosive inherently. Okay. It's just that there's an Isser Drabbanan to drink it.
So I understand that, but then Rav Moshe's Tshuva talks about like with the FDA. Okay.
I'm not kidding. We can't get to Rav Moshe's Tshuva and Chalav Nachri.
You're gun jumping.
This is definitely gun
jumping. It's not
gun jumping. Come back in 3 weeks.
Why is that only a Tshuva on the one specific thing? That's what I'm trying to say. When things that are made, I'm not talking about eating a cheeseburger. I'm talking about things that are made in a way that you can't make a mutter. Why is it only talking about milk?
The reason is you have to understand each issue in Ilchus Kashrus and why each thing is a problem, and then we can talk about the parameters of the issue. Okay, so we're gonna go one by one and talk about the different issues. Okay, I want to present a different. I gave you here a Yalkut Shimoni, and this Yalkut Shimoni was made famous by the Rambam in his introduction to Pirkei Avos and what's known as the Shmona Prakim. Anybody here ever learned the Shmona Prakim? No.
I saw it on the shelf.
You saw it on the shelf. This one,
oh, wow. Okay,
it was
an episode.
It's like Russia.
Okay. I saw a Shas on the shelf today, so that's good. Okay, I highly recommend you should go through the Shmona Prakim. As I mentioned, it's the Rambam's introduction to Pirkei Avos. Okay, very, very nice, important read. So in there, he quotes the Yalkut Shimoni. Let's look at the Yalkut Shimoni together. Amar Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. From where do we know that a person shouldn't say, oh, I can't possibly eat pig's meat? I can't possibly wear kilayim. It's so horrible to wear kilayim. I can't possibly involve myself in gilei raiyos because that would just be horribly disgusting. I could do it. But what can I do? My father in heaven made gzeira. It's not that I'm repulsed by the concept of a cheeseburger. It's just that it's not that it tastes bad. It's not that it's bad for me. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said not to. If I would eat it, I would like it. But Hashem says not. So the answer is not. How do you know that? Talmud Lomar v'avdil eschem eno amim liosli. I separate you from the nations to be mine.
Is the lomdus of that the rabbanon on the earth are right though?
The lomdus of what?
For just like milk and meat.
The lumdus of this for milk and meat?
Because I know it says three times. Okay, yeah. So is that...
No, that's deraisa. The drasha is on the three times of deraisa. Okay? In any event, but what this medrash is presenting, and the Rambam brings it as part of a discussion, I'll tell you what the Rambam says, in the Shmona Prakim, he actually, very fascinating, most people wouldn't write this way. The Rambam writes, it's like he sets it up almost as like a contradiction or two opposing views. Chazal say, your attitude should be, I could do a veir, so probably be very nice. But the Torah says I can't, so I won't. And the philosophers say a person shouldn't even want to do bad things. It's bad if you feel a desire for bad things. That means there's something wrong with you, with your personality. So can we reconcile these two views? So the Rambam says yes. The Rambam says the difference is between rational mitzvahs and mitzvahs for which we call chukim, which we don't know the reason for them. Or at least they're not rational. We wouldn't have come up with this by ourselves. Okay, so says the Rambam, if a person really, really wants to kill people, but what can you do? The Torah says lo sitzach, so he holds himself back. So it's very nice that he holds himself back. That's great, but there is a problem here. There's a problem in your midos that you want to kill people. That's not a good thing.
Something's off.
Okay, that's what I'm. On the other hand, Hilchus Kashrus, let's say. Hilchus Kashrus. Or Hilchus Gilei Arayos. So, if you're dealing with, why can't I eat a cheese? What's so wrong with that? We don't really understand that. Gilei Arayos, if you have, so maybe they're not married. Whatever it is, if they're two consenting people, if everybody involved is consenting, so what's the problem? So, Efshi, but the Torah says I can't. There's nothing wrong with you if you feel that you want to eat certain foods. Because it's not an inherent midos problem. But the Torah says you can't, so you don't. So Rav Lichtenstein made the Ha'ara that you could internalize the Halacha to a point where you do find it revolting. In other words, if a person is repulsed by by a cheeseburger, not because he thinks it tastes bad, but because he has internalized that it's treif. So that's fine. That's a good thing. That's not what the Rambam's talking about. That's a good thing. Okay, but in any event, this is what the Yalkut Shimoni says, but and the Rambam discusses.
The whole point of like non-kosher food is you're supposed to go by and say, "Oh, that looks so good, but I'm not going to eat it."
That's okay. That's what it says. So Rav Lindzin pointed out that if you have internalized the iser and therefore you're revolted by it, so then fine. That's a good thing. You. Okay, but in any event, the point of the matter is like this: what this medrash portrays in terms of attitudes towards kashrus is that lehavich, not like the presumably not like the Bar Minel, I would think, or at least one can argue, it's not like the Bar Minel. It's not that there's something inherently wrong with treif food. If there was something inherently wrong, then I would say EFG, I can't eat it because it's bad for me. There's nothing inherently wrong with it. Certainly nothing that I can sense. But Akash Baruch Hu said no. So I gave you a little small paragraph from an article by Rav Ezra Bick from Grush. It's on the VBM. It's part of a larger article, which I think was a very nice article. But anyway, check this out. Who wants to read it for us? It's English. English.
Okay, I'll do it.
All right, Jonathan.
It is an axiom of halakha that man must shape his basic existence, the parameters of his daily natural life, in order to be free to find value and achievement in his personal life. There is no halakha to be great, to conquer, to create. That is the inner spirit of halakha, but it is achieved by regulating the nearly unconscious aspects of daily life. For man to be great, withdrawal has to become virtually an instinct.
What Rabik is arguing here is that the value of Hilchus Kashrus is in inherent in the very need to control and restrain oneself in one's physical appetites. And the fact that food is a basic need makes that restraint all the more significant and all the more necessary. Because the very basis of religious life, and the truth is the very basis of a life of achievement in any area, but especially in religious life, is the ability to control and restrain oneself. This is something that Rav Soloveitchik discusses in several places as well. Okay, the need to restrain oneself. And he says, we're building a person in such a way from the beginning, whereby you're trained, you're used to going ahead, and as Gami described for us before, controlling oneself, making conscious decisions as to what we do and what we don't do. And in order for that to be the case, maybe bedavka, that becomes all the more significant if we assume that there's nothing inherently wrong about trade food. If there was something inherently wrong, so then it wouldn't be really self-restraint in the same kind of way. It would just be, you know, using your say, you know, doing not being stupid. But self-restraint is bedavka because whether there's nothing inherently wrong with it, or at least there's nothing that we see that's inherently wrong with it. Dafka there comes the Torah and says, you need to practice being able to control yourself, restrain yourself, and make conscious decisions about what you do. So that's something that perhaps stands behind the halachas of kashrus as well. We'll pause here. This was an introduction. And next time, there's Asa Shem, we get into the halachas.